Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this segment. And as you know, it is with Hazrat Mulana Musa Lahe, Damat Barakatuhu. The date today is the 6th of Rabi'ul Awwal, 1446. Let's welcome Hazrat Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana sir, jazakallah khair for having us once again.
Jazakumullah khair for joining us. Mulana, where are you at the moment?
Cape Town, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Sometimes in Egypt, sometimes Zimbabwe, sometimes Cape Town. So we have to keep on checking.
Gee.
How's the weather there?
It's a crispy morning, alhamdulillah. Proper winter's morning. But I believe Joburg's also getting some cold.
Gee, we put on the winter socks again. Yesterday we were cloth shedding. Today we're putting everything back on. It was quite cold today, this morning.
Gee.
So, Mulana, we've been speaking over the past few weeks over different aspects. Just a brief update from your side with your aid work and maybe updates in different countries. Perhaps you can tell us a few things.
So, alhamdulillah, yesterday I met with an alim from Bangladesh who's visiting South Africa. And he obviously shared some insight which mainstream media is not really covering. Mm. You know, with this whole Sheikh Hasina coup that took place and what have you. I was surprised to hear that more than 6,000 people were murdered.
Mm-hmm.
6,000. Now, you know, reports were showing numbers much, much less than that. So it is a frightening aspect. Of course, that was the first thing that was brought up. And then the second thing was with regards to these devastating floods that have taken place. More than 5 million people have been severely affected by the flood. So Allah make it easy. I think that is something that is really also needs to be considered by the communities in assisting and helping the people of Bangladesh. They've been through a lot over the last recent weeks and what have you. But Allah make it easy. With regards to Palestine, Maulana, last night was another devastating night for the Palestinian people. There was a massacre that took place in the Al-Mawasi tented camp, and reports are showing at least 40 people were killed. It was a 2,000-pound bunker buster bomb. And you can imagine a bomb falling down on a community that is, first of all, jam-packed into one specific area. And then, to make matters worse, subhanAllah, 2,000 pounds, 2,000 pounds, limbs were just torn away from people. And Allah make it easy. It is really, really terrifying experience for the Palestinians. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them afia. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them victory, swift victory. I think that a lot of this is also taking place, Maulana, predominantly because one is obviously the bodies of the captives that were found. And of course, in Israel itself, there are over 500,000 people that are protesting against the government. So Netanyahu, in his obscene way and his very vulgar manner of trying to get back at anyone for that matter, takes his frustration out on innocent Palestinians by throwing massive bombs on them. So Allah make it easy, Jim
Mulana, I've just double checked it as well. It just shows 1,000 people only killed in Bangladesh. And alhamdulillah, you've told us that the figures are much higher than this.
Mm-hmm.
So where's 1,000 and where's 6,000? Mulana, there's a question that I have to ask. I think I did ask Mulana privately, but I feel it's good to ask it publicly as well. This is regarding, just say, I've received many, this hasn't happened once, it's happened quite sometimes, a few times. A person messages and they say that we are from Palestine, and they phone them and they give this image that they are from Palestine. And they say, you know what, here's a bank account, you just transfer funds, and they don't show you anything to prove that they are there. And you don't, of course, because of the emotions and all of that, you don't want to, you know, put them in a deeper situation if it is true. But now, can you give us some signs, because Mulana is in this work, to tell us, and specifically we're speaking about Palestine, is there, if a person contacts us to say, transfer money into this account, should we do so, or why? How should we go about this?
Maulana, let me answer that question. Yesterday I met an Alim, and he was telling me, mashallah, Maulana, you people are doing so much of work in amongst the refugees in Cairo, etc., and all of that there, but why don't you do some work in Gaza itself? So I said, that is the primary. I mean, everyone wants to do work in Gaza itself. But in my opinion, it's just something that is blocked at the moment. So the explanation that he gave me made absolutely no sense. He says, no, all you need to do is Western Union some funding from South Africa to Dubai. And then there is somebody in Gaza who has excess funds. He will then release the funds and they will be able to cook. I said, okay, very good. First of all, that makes no sense to me because, I mean, excess funds is what? This is 12 months of war that is going on. No matter how much of excess funds you've got, that has to be depleted because you're not the only organization or so-called organization that's utilizing this platform. So, I mean, when you say excess funds, are you talking about billions of dollars or what? Because there's no other way. And it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Then the second red flag for me was that they are going to then buy things and cook. Buy what? There is no aid. If there is any aid that is going in, it's literally trickling. So what are you talking about when you say that you're going to buy food stuff, cook it, and distribute it? It makes absolutely no sense. So to answer your question, Maulana, you know, there's a lot of, I think, you know, if you look at social media today, there's a lot of posts, and they got this GoFundMe. I don't know if you've seen it. Hashtag GoFundMe project. So you'll find the Palestinian family, and all they are Palestinian, Allahu Alam, but they will then, you know, come and speak English and say, listen, if you ignore this message, then Allah will never forgive you. And that alone is wrong. You know, you don't have to speak like that. And then number two, please help us and fund. This GoFundMe, there's no banks in Gaza that are operational.
Exactly.
It's a war zone. So where are you going to withdraw this money from? Where are you going to get this money? And even if you got the money, what are you going to spend it on? So it makes absolutely no sense. Allahu Alam, it makes absolutely no sense.
And this actually happened this weekend again. And this person is contacting me from a South African number and is telling me, but no, he hasn't sent me anything where, like, the surroundings or, you know, rubble or any of that. It's just a phone call to say, please start this account for me. You are in South Africa. You can assist us. We are suffering. But I'm looking at the number and I'm thinking, but this is a South African number. And exactly what Mulana is saying, they are saying to me, and I felt a bit bad as well, and I'm sure I'm not the only person, there must be so many others, because we're so wanting to help the Palestinians, and here you are faced with this challenge. So he said, yeah, there's a bank, you just put the money in this account, and if you can also assist by starting something for us on your side there as well. And I said, but now, how do I, if I'm going to be collecting funds and I'm going to tell my family, at least if I'm not an aid organization, that here's a Palestinian, he's suffering. And if it is not, then I'm going to be suffering because I didn't do my homework properly. So that's why I said, let me ask Mulana rather on this, on the public platform, so people can learn as well that we shouldn't just fall for these things.
You know, Maulana, in every catastrophe, whether it's man-made, whether it's a natural disaster, unfortunately, there are always vultures to take advantage of the situation. When the earthquake in Turkey took place, we were working in an area called Adıyaman. That was one of the epicenters of where the earthquake had took place. The first 1-2 days access into the area was not a problem. After that, they started blocking off access even to aid organizations, and then you had to obviously prove your legitimacy and what type of work are you doing, etc. And the reason behind this was, listen to this, Molina, mind-boggling, absolutely. You'll never even comprehend the low-level people will stoop to in situations like this. So there were actually people that were going through the rubble, right? I mean, there was rubble everywhere. So they were going through the rubble to try and find gold jewelry and monies that may have been in the house that got destroyed or whatever, you know, fell down with the building, and monopolized on that. So that's why I'm saying is in every situation, unfortunately, you find the good and the ugly, or the good and the bad. And we just have to do our due. You have to take a lot of precautions when it comes to things like this here, because it's an amana. It is something that, collecting funds for Palestine is probably one of the easiest things right now, because everyone is emotional, everyone is heartbroken. And if you come up with a so-called, and I'm saying it's so-called in inverted commas, legitimate story that, you know what, I can get so much of aid in, the public is going to definitely buy into it. So my advice to the public is, just be careful. There's a lot of scammers out there. There's a lot of people out there who are trying to take advantage of the situation. And may Allah forgive them, may Allah guide them.
Amen.
At the end of the day, we have to be very careful.
Mulana, you said scavengers and, oh no, you said vultures. Mulana said vultures. And this just makes me think that here on our land, when we just here, if you go outside, Allah forbid, someone meets up in an accident, the vultures are there, and they're also looking to see what can they take from you, the phone or your these tow trucks. And imagine sometimes you're in such a critical condition, and they come across as so kind, but they have this agenda, unfortunately. Illa mashallah, those that are sincere, but on a general scale, they are looking to see how they can make few bucks out of you, and this is just everywhere. Unfortunately, we become slaves of the rand, of the dollar. This is it has become our focus, and I guess we've just lost so much because we've lost this trust. And if we look around us in the world, trust is a major thing that we've, if you take our businesses, our dealings on a small scale in our own homes, on a large macro scale, this is a critical a quality which we've lost, unfortunately, especially as Muslims. And more so, I just saw another clip going around of Mulana Yunus Patel, Rahimullah. I haven't listened to it as yet, but using tagging it as Islamic, and we're using these names, Islamic, this, we can collect funds here, we can make, how do we, where do we draw the line and say enough is enough?
Interesting that Maulana has brought up the subject, because already 15 years ago, my late Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said, trust is something that's gone out of the window. it very, very rarely exists in communities and societies today. And obviously, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi was speaking about trusting your daughters with strangers or with male friends and homosexuality and all of those illnesses and diseases that exist. But yes, if we have to interpret it on a larger scale, like what Maulana is speaking about, I think most certainly trust has gone out of the window. It's a very rare commodity that exists in society today. And should you find it, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, hold on to it tightly. And that is where suhbat and good company with our mashayikh, with our kabirin comes into play. Because look, ultimately, you know, if you look at everything, like Maulana mentioned, even when an accident takes place and the vultures are already there at the car or at the accident scene and they're trying to scavenge over whatever scraps have been left off, you know, in the vehicle, whether it's a cell phone, whether it's what, whether it's this. The reason behind that is because the heart is diseased. Mm. And when the heart is diseased, and the heart becomes diseased because of several reasons. One is hubbud dunya, love, excessive love for the dunya. Tulul amal, ambitions become very, very high. That, you know what, I'm no longer comfortable with the small Toyota Corolla that I'm driving. I need to drive a Mercedes-Benz, or I need to drive a BMW, or those type of things. And when those diseases enter the heart, there's no limits. Mm. There's no limits to what a person will do. A person will sell his own family and sell his own iman just to acquire whatever the ambitions are.
Maulana, just before we've got about 10 minutes, and I also want to, I'd like Maulana's comments and advice as well to the Ummah on this particular topic. On Fridays, we have this program between 5 past 10 and 10:30, where we announce people's nikahs and, of course, those that are performed, when the nikah is performed in the masjid. So there we announce those nikahs. But yesterday, I'm sure Maulana also received it, we received a disturbing nikah announcement. And this was not for me to announce, and we're never ever going to announce it. But the critical situation that we find ourselves in, where two females, I'm not even going to mention their names to give them that credibility of sharing their names or nothing of that sort, but two females getting married, and yet this, it was actually passed this past Saturday, so it's already stale news, but it's disturbing that something like this took place. And this was not a nikah as yet, so it's an engagement ceremony. The nikah is still going to take place. But the engagement took place this past Saturday, and open invitation for the family members, meaning openly publicizing this thing. Is this, what's the consequences of this, Maulana?
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Maulana. This is where the Ummah is at the moment. Unfortunately, it's a very, very sad state of affairs. You know, if a person is doing something wrong and they are hiding and doing it, there is possibly some hope of tawbah, of repentance. But now when a person, like Maulana is mentioning, publicly advertises their filth, their promiscuity, their... well, there's no nikah there, so their adultery, I don't even have words for it. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. You know, I'm finding it difficult right now also to actually translate these ayat of the Quran Sharif, because really, I mean, one is, you've got these two females that are engaged or married or I don't know what they are. And then publicly, you know, it's like, but please attend our function, you know. Let's celebrate the moment. Let's enjoy ourselves together. I mean, is this not precisely what happened in the nation of Lut alayhi salatu wassalam? Are we not invoking Allah's wrath upon us? Are we not invoking that, Ya Allah, come? It's a challenge, subhanAllah, a bold challenge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, bring down your wrath. We are ready for this year. We will, you know, Maulana, these days, really, we have to ask ourselves, what is surprising anymore? What is surprising? I mean, if this type of thing is acceptable in society, then tomorrow, where is this going to lead to?
And that's precisely why we have to, if the ulama don't speak out and we don't sit in their company, at least by sitting in their company, we will be, some awareness will be created. Something will trigger one day, inshallah. And sometimes it may not just be immediately, but one day. And one is, as Mulana has mentioned, that you do it, but you feel guilty about this. But the other is when you just don't care. And that's exactly what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. When you lose all this haya, first na'ma shaykh, then do as you will. Because that's exactly what you're going to do. You're not going to care about what this one is going to say. Let's we now send this out and let's see what the people have to say. It's as Mulana said, you're challenging Allah to say that we don't care anymore. But when you do something, you have that guilt. This is where, on the one hand, we, up until this point, I thought, you know, perhaps this LGBTQ is on it, it's falling, it's a sinking ship. But yesterday when we received this, then it's totally, now you realize that what's happening actually.
Well, Nana, there's two things here that we must remember. One is, expect more earthquakes to take place, more natural disasters to take place around the world. Like you said, when this haya and this modesty leaves us, then these are one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perhaps test, wrath, anger, wake-up call, whatever you want to call it. So expect this to happen. Number two, to this, I don't want to even refer to them as a couple because they're not a couple in our eyes, but to these young girls, whoever they are, our advice is, immediately repent. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's hope for you. Allah will forgive. Allah will forgive. And Allah give hidayah, and Allah guide them, and Allah bring them onto Siratul Mustaqim.
Ameen.
But the moment we are going to shun away from these type of things, Maulana, you mentioned that, you know, perhaps, in your opinion, you thought that this was a sinking ship. Come away to Cape Town. You'll see how prevalent it is here in Cape Town. It's staring you in the face almost everywhere you go. Almost everywhere you go.
Is this amongst Muslims?
Well, difficult to say whether it's Muslims or non-Muslims, because today identity is another separate topic for another day, but it's there. It's definitely staring you in your eyes. They are small children, I'm talking 9 years of age, in our schools that have been exposed to this type of filth and haram. So, unfortunately, you know, the time has come when holding on to our deen is like going to be holding on to a hot coal. You will actually find people, this discussion that we're having now, Maulana, you'll actually find people that will find our discussion repulsive and complain, if they could, to some higher authority and say, but what are you all talking about this year for? You know, we must respect everyone's opinions and we mustn't be judgmental. You know, that new thing, that judgmental story. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
That's the first thing that has afflicted us, that you can't judge me. If I choose to be a dog, I choose to be some strange creature, you can't judge me. I'm me. And I actually, Mulana, last week you mentioned to me, you mentioned to us, the listeners as well, that incident that took place in your madrasa with your one of your students and someone who attend the same school. And I actually mentioned it to our two students that you think Shiism is something that is not happening out there. But look, this is what Mulana Musaleh has told us. It's happening. This is something, it's a reality. It's not something that is only in Iran. Here on our doorstep, you're finding this here. And because we are busy with the section on Shiism. And I was happy to see in this Talimi syllabus, they've got this section on the Shias. And I feel that's the right time to educate our children, because they fall easily into these traps. So alhamdulillah, these are major lessons. I don't know, there's 2 minutes left, Mulana. I don't know if there's anything else that's on your mind and perhaps you want to alert us, the Ummah as well, about.
Mulana, there's a beautiful kitab by our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Mulana Yusuf Al-Tab Rahmatullah Alayhi. And it's a kitab that is free, you know, it's not a something that you have to pay for. It's a free publication. I'm sure listeners in Durban, even in Johannesburg, Cape Town might be a bit difficult to get hold of it, but those two provinces that I mentioned, I think it would be slightly easier. It's called Removing the Safety Net. And it's a transcript of our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi's Majalis on these specific topics, you know, calling a spade, opening up, or rather removing from what has been swept under the carpet for so many years with regards to these issues that we are dealing with on a week-to-week basis. I think it's important for us as families also to make ta'aleem of this in our homes. It will alert our children, because they're already exposed, but it will also alert us and alert our children to the fitnas that we are being currently exposed to. And after that, you know, we have to turn to Allah in a lot of itawbah and istighfar, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on siratul mustaqeem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children and protect us. This is a dua that every parent should be making. Ya Allah, protect me, protect my family, protect my community from homosexuality and all of these fitnas that are lurking around us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.